Hello, this is Black Country Blokes chewing the fat.
Listen.
I've been hearing a lot lately about men don't talk, but in my experience, men do talk, just people aren't listening. So it's going to be me and a group of blokes discussing our struggles and victories through life. Warning, there may be some bad language, so apologies to all the moms, especially my own. Let's get going.
Listen.
I've been, yeah, this is the Black Country Blokes, chewing the fat about everything it is, mental health, disability, and today boxing. With me, Kev Dillon, and my partner in crime, as always, Lee Cadman, and today, the champ himself, Usama Mohammed, a.k.a. Osama. So, Os, thank you, brother, for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It's been a long time in the making, isn't it?
It has. We've been talking about this for years and years and years.
Finally, after all these camps and that, I've got time for it. But yeah, appreciate it.
So what we're going to do before we talk about Os's career, what got him into boxing, where his dreams are, we're going to talk about the gratitude list. Because I always like to believe in starting every day with gratitude. And I'm grateful, A, for having the champ on, because as he says, he's been, you know, on about this for years. But I had a great weekend. He was one of my good old friends, Matt Shaw's birthday on Friday. Went out there, saw some of my best friends in the world. Had far too much to drink, but, you know, I'm late every so often.
Yeah.
Then being out with Kate's friends and just having a good friends weekend. So just grateful to have good people in my life. What are you grateful for, bro?
Well, this morning I've got the kids ready for school, got them all in the van, just about to pull off, and Nikki phones me, my wife, and says, you do realise Callie's in mufti, and I'll put her in normal clothes. It's my eldest, she's doing a mock, second day of the mock, so then I had a panic, ran into the house, grabbed some clothes, thought they'll have to change her at school. Got to school, everyone's a bit flustered, a bit panicked. Once I dropped the two, I was driving down the road. I look in my rear at the little in the back, and there's just no worry on her face at all. Yeah. I was like, I'm just grateful. I can look at you, and it just doesn't matter. It's all bollocks, for want of a better word, and it doesn't matter. So I'm just grateful that she's there, and she just brings me back down to earth. What happens if you're 2 minutes late? Mm. Nothing.
What are you grateful for, bruv?
I say my family. As we're getting older, obviously, everyone's busy with their own lives, and a few weeks ago it was Ramadan, and that was probably the only time that we all sat together as a family and just spent time with each other. But it's going to happen as you get older, everyone's going to be busy here and there. And obviously, I'm busy boxing, and there's not enough times where we get together as a family and sit down and appreciate everyone's presence. You know what I mean? We've always had that obviously, growing up, we've always had that, but recently it hasn't been as much. So, yeah.
Well, as you become grown up, and you're not finishing school at the same time. Mm, so, yeah. You know, you're all coming back from work, and that's life, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's important just to make those times when you can, just go and do it, you know. Yes, you do, don't you? I mean, I see my mum quite a bit because she looks after Calla, but my dad, it's a hop and a catch.
Mm.
And it's just because we're both busy, and it is nice when you can sit down, have a meal, and just chew the fat.
Yeah,
as you say, like with Ramadan, because how many European games, and you've been all around the world, and it often seems to land on Ramadan, doesn't it?
Always. It's my luck. That's my luck. It's always in Ramadan. The Europeans were in Ramadan. Last year's championships and this year's championships, all in Ramadan. So it's hard, obviously, fasting as well as making weight and training at different times is one of the hardest things I've probably done.
I mean, weight, I mean, like, the eating thing, having to eat at certain times. But it's getting the fluid in your body, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Because your body takes a certain amount of time to rehydrate, to refuel. And doing that, cramming that into a certain amount of time is just stress on your body.
Well, you want to eat and drink after you're trained, don't you? Because that's the optimal time to do it. So.
And it was like people always said, well, surely you should lose weight when you're fasting, but you're eating the wrong foods at the wrong times, aren't you?
Yeah. It is. It's one thing that I think I've learned how to get used to it. But I really think it's a blessing in disguise, because I think that with making weight, I'd normally struggle to make weight usually. But I feel like with this, with making weight whilst fasting, you've eaten one decent sized meal, but it was trying to get as much nutritional, obviously, foods in as possible.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one reason I made weight so comfortably. And I felt good as well, believe it or not.
So sometimes when you first start, like, coming down in the water, and when you're, like, you, your body starts storing it at first, doesn't it? You start panicking, will I make the weight? And then it all just comes together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. So God's planning it. At the start of war, when the championships first started, I started making weight. I was ill. Remember, I was ill and trying to get the weight off. I was stuck at a certain weight and I wasn't budging. And I was thinking to myself, am I going to make this weight? Am I going to make this weight? And I was already drained as it is. I was fasting. And I was stressing, And then I got better and the weight just dropped off. But yeah.
Well, when your poo is, well, your body does like it craves for monster munchies and jellies. It does. When you're poorly, you want to eat all the bad foods, lying it, and drink fluids.
It also stores. The reason you get the weight is because it stores that, because it knows you need it to fight something.
Yeah.
I mean, in your career, I mean, you've been up here since you're about 10 years old.
Yeah.
Entered championships after, had you had 3 to 4 fights in your first year as a minor?
Must have been 4 or 5, I think 40 kilos back then. 40 kilos a long time ago. But yeah, I think it was about 4 or 5 fights.
So you won the Midlands your first season.
Won the Midlands first season. And then got to the quarters, I think.
Because it was me, you, and Gaz Southpaw.
Yeah, I remember
that. We drove up there, it took about blooming. Because, you know, it's 10 years ago. So I've been doing it for 20 odd years.
Yeah.
But, you know, not having the guidance of my dad or Big John, and I'd taken over the club full time. And so we drove there, but it was like a good 5 hours to Durham.
Easy 5 hours. I'm at a day waking up early and I was like, half asleep. I was half asleep when I come in, my dad was like, let's go. And I could never travel, and I could never sleep whilst traveling, whether it's on the plane or in the car. And I remember I was wide awake. I wanted to go to sleep, but I couldn't. And it was an easy 5 hour drive, remember. And I come in, I was not in the best conditions and that, and it was.
Well, we were on about 4, 5, 6. So your legs had, I don't want, don't make an excuse, but it was a learning curve for the pair of us. When you travel that long, your little legs hadn't woke up, and it was an all right fight. I think you beat him the next season.
Yeah, I think so.
We've over the years you fought him.
Beat him.
And it was one of them. First season got the Midlands, got to the quarterfinals. It's a learning curve, but I always realised that far. If we're travelling that far,
of course, stay
over the night before.
A question for you, Kev. When Osmer first walked in the gym, did you think he'd get to where he's at now?
I knew every coach here who's listened to this, you see greatness in some people. You know, some people. I used to call him a little Asian Nigel Benn, didn't I?
I was like, who's that?
I went, it's not an insult.
I was like, who's that?
You didn't know a Nigel Benn was.
Because he was just so naturally.
He's our era, isn't he?
So naturally strong and shoulders moving. And as a youngster, you just had a big engine and relied on your strength. And the skills have come after, haven't they?
Yeah. I feel like my strength got me to about, it just helped me through schoolboys and juniors. And as soon as I got to youth, that's when I started realizing that these people, they ain't stopping after my punch. Usually I'd land a good punch and then they'll back off. But as I got to youths and obviously senior now, they ain't budging. You know what I mean? They're coming forward as well. They can take a punch. But I've always got that punch on me. You know what I mean? That girl jail card, I've always got it on me. But it's slowed down as I've got older. Or well, people have just matured. That's what it was. People have matured as I got older.
But they can take a punch, can't they? And what has improved dramatically, and the reason why you've had this stoppages in when you've done international tournaments recently, is the timing of the punch. It's not just the force, it's as they're stepping in, it's that timing that makes people's legs go, isn't it? And it's rare in amateur boxing that it's a KO, a spark, isn't it? Either the legs have gone, the referee jumps, it's more a technical knockout, isn't it?
I feel like the referee stops it before that's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you can sense that's going to happen, then you're obviously stopping before. That's how it should be. You know what I mean? Safety is obviously very important in boxing. But I feel like most of my stoppages are like, technical knockouts in it. It's never been a full-on KO. But,
Because if we look now, that was your first season. And then the second season, I think, is a national final. Was it?
Oh, as a school, but was it?
Was it your second season?
It was Manchester on that day. And
we just had the Manchester bombings, hadn't we?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and the security and the the setup was.
he was in a car boot sale, wasn't he?
The car boot sale was next door.
Yeah.
And the car boot sale was next door. People just walking from the car boot into the venue.
Yeah. There's police dogs with 500 yards there. No bags are getting searched. And you're thinking, we've just had Manchester bomb. We're in Manchester. And you put us on a car boot, you know, security. Bonkers.
That was a bad experience. I remember that season, I was just progressing, going through each fight. I beat the previous national champion in the semifinals. And I obviously second championships in flight. And then I get to the finals and I give it everything. I give it everything I got. It was a close fight. I wouldn't say it's a robbery, but it was a close fight.
Mm.
I thought I had it, but yes, another learning curve.
And that's it. But it was second season, national final. And we've had lots of upsets over the years, haven't we, mate?
Of course.
But what I love about you, we'll talk about your ups and your downs, is whether you win on the Sunday or whether you win or lose on the Sunday, you're back here on the Monday.
Of course. That's how it should be, though, isn't it? You shouldn't. After a loss, or for me, after a loss or after feeling down, I've got to do something.
Mm.
I've got to get back in the gym, or I've got to, you know what I mean? I've got to keep busy. I can't just sit at home thinking about it, because what's that going to do for me later on? You know what I mean? If I get a fight in a few weeks' time and I've been sitting at home after my loss, what's that going to do for me? I've got to stay focused and I've got to stay disciplined, because it's just a little bump in the road, you know what I mean? For the end goal. The end goal is obviously championships, hopefully Olympics and Commonwealths. If I feel loss determines my outcome, then how's that going to be? How's that going to make me the man who I am?
Exactly. You know what I mean? And because we got to that national final, we were there. I think you'd gone from 48 to 52 or something on the home show. And then England phoned you up. We were fighting at the Broadhill Civic, and they had the phone call saying, does he want to come and represent England in the Europeans? Schoolboys? The schoolboys or your first year?
Schoolboys, yeah. Schoolboys? Last year, schoolboys, remember that? 48 kilo. But I just about made 50.
Yeah.
Just about made 50. But I think it was one of the home shows. But it was made 50. And then they emailed me saying, can you make 48? Obviously, I wanted to do 48. Would they take, you know what I mean? Would they take an arm or a leg off? But
yeah,
that was my first time representing England. And I was amazed, because I've only ever seen it on like Instagram or obviously socials. People going to the Europeans. And that alone is just crazy. You know what I mean? Not many people got the chance to go to the Europeans or box for England, and I thought, I'm doing it whether I'll die in that, you know what I mean? Whether I die making the weight, or I'm going to make that weight and I'll do it. But it was a push. It was hardest weight I've ever made.
But making weight shouldn't be easy, should it?
Now, of course not. You've got to sacrifice to get on top. You've got to sacrifice, whether that's food or, you know, going out with your mates. You've got to sacrifice something. And that's where I am today, from sacrificing.
And you got was it in Bulgaria, your first one?
Bulgaria, yeah. Bulgaria.
And you went over and you won your first contest. I think you've won your first two. And then it was a controversial decision. And that lad, I think, was he from Bulgaria or Russian?
Russia.
And he went on to win everything, didn't he?
Yeah. I remember Russia was flying that football back then. They've always been up in it. So that competition, I think Russia had about... they had the most gold medals in tournament. And I'm guessing it was about 14, 13 gold medals. Something crazy like that. And I feel like, obviously, in that fight, I gave everything I had. Mm. And a lot of people thought I won. But then, just look at the draw, innit? Look at the draw that was. But yeah, he went on to win it. He boxed Ukraine in the final, I remember. He boxed Ukraine in the final and he won it. But I've never seen him again. Never seen him again.
Yeah. And how many great boxers from England, just into the gym, you see, you look at some people, and they haven't had your resilience. They've got God-given ability, but they've had no hard work to carry on through it.
Yeah, of course. I said to myself, if I quit now, everything I worked for is going to be pointless. You know what I mean? If I lose and I just quit because of that, everything, all the weight making, all the hard training, every time I wake up in the morning for the runs, that'll be pointless. And I can't physically stop now.
So your aim is obviously going to the Olympics. Hopefully it's in on that year. But that's do you look past that? Is in terms of, am I going to turn over professional and go that route? Or is it you just, let's get to that Olympics and then see what happens after?
Yeah, with the Olympics come off, that's my that's my ultimate goal, to be fair. That's that alone is that's what keeps me pushing myself. That, and then I'd say the Olympics, whatever happens in the Olympics, that's going to determine my professional career. So there's no point of looking past that when I've, you know.
But you do have plans to go professional after. Yeah,
I've always got plans to go pro. That's, if I was in the boxing, obviously I wouldn't be doing that. But yeah, the ultimate goal is Olympics. That's everyone's dream, I think.
Yeah, I think as an amateur, yeah, some people stop at that though, don't they? You know, this, I think Tom Stalker, he did go pro, but he said, I didn't really want to. It was just I did so well being GB captain and doing that that I thought I had to.
But it's most people's dream. The beauty of the Commonwealth, you're known around the Commonwealth. The beauty of the Olympics is you're known around the world, and people go on that journey with you. And then the plan is then it catalysts your...
Well, and you don't see much boxing on BBC bar the Olympics, so, if any. Yeah.
But even like the ABAs, the senior ABAs, the elite ABAs, to watch it now, you've got to pay for it. Don't you spend telly?
That's silly, that is, man.
It should be a way to people watch and go, wow.
This is the up-and-coming
this star. This is Olympic boxing. This is what I want to do. The pros is what it is, but Olympic boxing, this could... Put down the knives, pick up the gloves, let's get them off the street.
You look back to when Audie Alison won his gold and then Amir Khan the years after. That's what really give boxing a boost in this country.
And people say, the reason why I got into boxing, AJ, the reason why I got into women's boxing, Nicola Adams or Katie Taylor or Savannah Marshall or Tash, they look at it at the Olympics. Look, the reason why they get into tennis, because they see it at the Olympics. The reason why they get to swimming, because they see it at the Olympics. But grassroots boxing of like the elites, be it the schools, the juniors, the youths, the elites, should be televised.
Yeah.
So people going, wow, I know him. Or he's a local hero. And he turned his life, or she turned her life around.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because how often does, someone from the Midlands walk into a boxing gym, you know, an ex-pro, an ex-winner, you know, he's the role model of the Lions. Casey Oakley at the Priory is the hero of there. Ben Whittaker was the hero of Firewalker, or, you know what I mean? They are your people's champion. You're the role model for that generation, because that celebrity will come and sit with you and talk to you about diets. Every time she sits down and goes, look here, I have to make weight. It's not comfortable. Or are you doing your runs? Because I listen to him because he is awesome.
Yeah, and he's more around that their age.
Of course. Whereas
we're more codgers now, ain't we? He's rocketing it, you don't.
But he's doing it. He's going to bloody India and Turkey and Romania. He's all around the world. So they go, well, he's doing it. And pick his brains, because he's the guy I want to be.
Yeah.
Of course. And I'm roughly similar age to them as well. So yeah. I'm not far out of their range.
On that, dude, what do you think of Ben Whittaker in his kind of style within his fighting? Because we've met Ben Whittaker at the show, and he's one of the nicest blokes you'll meet. But there's a bit of controversy on his antics in the ring, isn't there? Because that's not you, is it, to do things like that? You're not. Yeah.
I think one of the commentators was saying that one of his punches that he threw in his fight was very disrespectful. And I really disagree with that. I feel like for him to be in that position to throw that punch, that's just skill alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one could do that. No one could get into that position and get the timing right to throw that punch.
Yeah, you wouldn't attempt it, would you?
Yeah. You wouldn't think about it. Yeah. That is just pure skill, pure talent.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of hard work has been put into that.
Yeah, and I think it's not just that. He's selling himself, and ultimately that's the aim is to probably for him to become world champion, but you've got to make money on the way, because it's your career and it's a short one.
TikTok reels.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's... And once he steps up the gear, he's not putting it down behind his back. He's just doing what he can when he can. And we know he's an Olympic silver medalist. He won the Olympic... I think it's first or second year he's been a senior. And he qualified to the Olympics. So it's not like he'd been in the Jeep for years and years. It's like his first or second year as a senior. That's how good he was.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
But back to your story, I mean, like you went to the Europeans, you won the ABAs the year after?
As a junior. So I've come back from the Europeans. And I think to myself, everyone's going to come after me because I've been to the Europeans. You know what I mean? I said to myself, I can't lose this. I can't lose the Nationals. And I won the Nationals in 54. And that alone was amazing. That was obviously a big milestone in my career, winning the National, my first ever National title. But, yeah, that was amazing. Yeah.
Did you feel the pressure then after coming from the Europeans?
I felt in the Midlands. And then after my first fight, I was just flowing. Everything just flowed and I felt relaxed. But it's always that first fight. Always that first fight. And after the Midlands, I just cruised my way to the finals. Yeah.
It was great. Me, you, your dad and Pete, wasn't it?
Yeah, I
remember. We had a good laugh, didn't we, mate? Because us were trying to make weight and me, Pete and his dad went to this lovely Indian restaurant. We were all eating. We had these little pieces. But he wouldn't see ABAs. But celebrate. And on the way back, a real nice steak. And we went to like the Asian version of Fawlty Towers.
In my head, I was thinking, we're going to have a big steak. Yeah. Loads of chips, all the cookie one. And then we went to this guy, and he was the waiter, the chef.
The DJ, the window cleaner.
All in one.
You could literally taste the salmonella on every bike, couldn't you?
It's good left there, man. You don't forget that. You don't forget days like that.
And the same season, we went over to Ireland and you won the gold medal at Monkstown.
It was, yeah. That was I think the first time I went to Monkstown was the year before, I think, after the Europeans.
Was it?
That was the first time. And then the second.
Because you won it twice, didn't you? The gold medal there.
Yeah, I won it twice. So the first time was after the Europeans, 2018, I think. And then the second time was the year after.
Of course, because then we had the lockdown in 2020.
Yeah, it was crazy. Went in the kid that came out, man.
Yeah.
Crazy to think that. But yeah.
But you've got Monkstown because you fought some good lads. The great thing, the first time we went to Monkstown, there's 5 rings, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Then the second year we went up, there's 3 rings. They seemed to have smoldered right down. But that first time was amazing, wasn't it?
It was because Team USA was coming. And I was, all these big names from USA, the squad, they came over and they was fighting. And that was probably the best international or box cup I've ever been to. By far, you got all this talent and all these prospects coming in, and it's just for me to win it with them in my category and them being there. That's another milestone to add to the collection.
You know? Is there anyone who, out of all the tours you've done now and gone everywhere, is there anyone who really stands out from any country that you think actually he looks like he's going to be the star of the future? Not even in your weight category, just in general. We can put tips on that someone's going to win a title.
Sure, like the super heavyweight toss.
Yeah, Enrique or Moses Tama, yeah. He's always been special to him. He's always been very special. I remember, because we went to the Europeans together, and the first Europeans in 2018, we went. And he was already a big man then back then. He's twice the size of me now. Yeah. He was about, 13, 14 then. I think he was doing under 80s, I think. But he went into the Europeans with 4 bouts, I think, 4 or 5 bouts, believe it or not. He went in and he absolutely smashed everyone. But yeah, what a talent, very talented, and he's destined for greatness. He is very talented.
Has it been anyone else who you think of to top your head?
There's one lad from, I think it's Bristol, I think, or down south somewhere, Adam Macca. He's a very, very strong and very durable lad. He could fight all day long. He's much younger than me. He's about, I think he's a youth. He's a youth now. But yeah, he was smashing everyone. He was knocking out people in the Nationals, and that's at 57k. It's crazy. Now, you know, you don't get knockouts at 75. Yeah. You don't get knockouts at them. 57k knocking people out. That's pure strength. That is pure talent.
And it's been wonderful. I mean, being on all these internationals and meeting the future stars and being a people. And even like, I mean, you've worked with some great boxers, you've been all around the world. I mean, off the top of your head, I mean, in fact, we'll get to that in a bit, like where you've been. Like, so we've done Monkstowns, you've got 2 gold medals there, you've won the ABAs. Then the following year, it was a bit of a hiccup here, wasn't it?
2020.
Lockdown, yeah, like, as we just went to lockdown,
that was, yeah, because I remember I think we started championships
just and they stopped it halfway through.
We just started the juniors and then they stopped it halfway through the championships, and then I don't know, people just spiked up in weight in a few weeks time. But yeah, that was crazy memory that was.
But even in, like, through the lockdown, like, we set up at the club saying, like, the Lions family, didn't we?
Mm.
And it was just keeping each other, because all the gyms had to close down. And it was like, hi, guys, and everyone talking, doing voice notes because some of the people can't read. And today I nominate Lee. And Lee had come on with his camera going, and we're going to do 5 exercises. Then today I nominate Osama. Yeah. It was just a way of keeping everyone fit.
Of course.
Yeah. And Christian Marie, in fact, did us a video today. It's on one of the YouTube things. And I was just seeing people, everyone's good wishes, and how everyone exercised in the kitchen. There's you doing a chin-up off a tree.
Off the tree, yeah. Yeah, because we went for a walk, and then I got a message from one of you saying that I've been nominated to do more 5 exercises. And my dad was like, jump on the tree then. And I was like, all right, I'll jump on the tree. And I remember, I don't know who it was, but someone said in the group chat, if you're going to move weight, you've got to get a bigger tree.
Yeah, a bigger branch.
So I was laughing my head on. But yeah, it was good to get active and obviously staying in contact with everyone. Mm. Most of you. You're back in your house, you know what I mean? But it was a good time, that was.
Because it was, I mean, isolation hit so many people so hard.
Of course.
You're lucky, like I'm lucky, like we're lucky. We had great families who we could be with. But as some people were left on their own, and or they didn't, you know, you're in a little flat. So you hadn't got a garden to walk out in. And yeah. It was very tough, but we were some of the lucky ones. And some people, you know, they were with their younger brother, older brother, dad who was a coach. And I basically sparred with each other and padded each other all the way through lockdown.
Of course, yeah.
But other people, they didn't have those luxuries, or they didn't have a home gym, or they didn't have a punch bag.
Of course. But yeah, I was lucky enough, to be fair, to have my dad with me. And he was just making sure I was going on my runs. I was doing the exercises at home, and I was still being active. But yeah, I'm very lucky to have my dad.
You were speaking about that when you're off air, and how, because obviously it's great that you've had the support of the Lions and you support the Lions, but having your dad who brought you here every week, you know, no questions asked, you was here. If he was at shows, your dad would be with you. It's that support behind you, not only from the Lions, but from your dad's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah, massive, big, you know, shout out to your dad. Casper has been, I'd say, 3 times a week, 4 times a week, shows, and where have we been? If it's in this country, he's been there with Ireland. He's always been one of them dads. Says, you're his coach, I'm his dad. You go and do the coaching, I'll go and stand over here. And that's a rarity. It's when we've got someone successful as you are to have such a sound dad, just being there supporting you from the sidelines.
Yeah. With my dad, is he thinks to himself, because my dad's, he hasn't done much in boxing. He's done, obviously, trained as a kid and that, but nothing crazy. And he always says to me, he goes, I'm not a coach. He goes, your coaches are going to get you to where you want to be. I'm not gonna get you there. You know what I mean? And there's no point of him screaming and shouting when I've got coaches. Like, you know what I mean?
But it gets you to the club, and that's the first step. If you can't get here, then can't coach you. So you know.
Of course. But they're getting me there. He's always been there, man. Always been my corner. And after every loss and after every win, he's always there speaking to me. He's not one of them dads that, you know, stick it on you and give you some hassle about losing.
Mm.
He's always there sitting with me saying, you know, what went wrong? What could you work on? He's in a calm manner. That's how it should be, though. That's how it should be. He should be calm and relaxed. He shouldn't be stressing you. But yeah, he's drove me all the way before I was driving. He was taking me all over. He was taking me to Leeds, to Sheffield, not missing a camp. And I remember coming back from Germany. I think we came back at 1 a.m. in the morning, and my dad picked me up from the airport. Oh, but yeah, he went miles and miles from me.
And that's what a good dad does. And then, look, we've come back from lockdown, came back in, because once again, you know, when the gym first opened, we'd gone from having like 30 to 40 to 50 people in downstairs to only able to have 12 people in a gym. All the bags were separated, spread around. No one was allowed to spar. No one was allowed to do this. We abided by every rule. We started to get you fit. And then, did you have a call for England then?
2021, I think it was. Because
we didn't have no competition for the first, because we're in, out, in, out.
It was.
So I don't know if you did, but I had a bout.
I don't think we did. No. Because my first ever bout was the championships, because it got cancelled, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got an assessment with England to get to the Europeans in
Amanda Colson.
Montenegro, yeah, so it was.
Great woman as well, Amanda. You know, quite a lot of time for her.
yeah, I got a call up, and I was like, this is where I start. This is where obviously all the work's gonna pay off, because we was obviously with the lockdown, it was on and off, and it was hard staying disciplined through that.
Mm.
But yeah, I got the call up from England for the Europeans, and then yeah, I got selected. I think I had 2 or 3 assessments. I got selected, and we was 8 weeks in to the camp, so we had amazing camp. It was 8 weeks in, and the last week, I got a phone call saying it's been cancelled or we're pulling out because of COVID, and I was like, oh, fuming.
It was because the isolation period, and they hadn't got the money to pay for the, what's it called? We had to put people in quarantine, basically. Wasn't it in Montenegro? Wasn't it?
I think it was in one of the red zones, black zone or something like that. But yeah, as in like we couldn't enter that. And it was a hassle, that was, man.
It was heartbreaking, isn't
it? It is. I remember I was with my friends when I found out, and I was fuming. Because we put on, for me, making the weight, obviously I was making the weight all the way through, I was training, everything was going well. And it just, last minute, we've been pulled out. I was like, oh my God. But it paid off at the end. It all paid off because I had the championships like a few weeks later.
Mm.
And you were fight fit because you've been going to all the camps. One of the best lads in the country.
Yeah, best preparation. And I got to the boxing nationals in there, so I was well prepared.
Got to the national final again, didn't you?
Yeah.
Levi Barnes, and you know, most people in there thought we'd done enough.
Yeah.
But once again, you took on the chin. Yeah, I mean, you actually become good friends with him, didn't you? Over the years,
because. We went to the Worlds together. He got picked over me in the Europeans the next year, but he couldn't make the weight, so I took over, got bronze. But yeah, and then later on in that year, we went to the Worlds. He went in the weight above.
Mm.
And we became very good mates.
But because I just wanted to get you on, it's like, Emily, like you've been to, I think, 4 national finals, won it once, but it's great to be focused when everything's going your way and when you've had these decisions, you get these things. But to have the resilience to keep coming when you've done everything right and it's a setback, and not be bitter in the game and not to be judging anyone or anything, is quite remarkable. And that's why you are a role model in this club.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't always been easy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you went to the Worlds. At the Europeans, I'd say he took Levi's place because he couldn't make weight, got a bronze medal. And then we've had the last 2 championships as a senior. I mean, since you've been a senior, you've been on England, you're on the first ever England
senior program. Yeah.
And this season you've smashed, haven't you? You've been to how many countries this year alone?
7, I think it was. 7 countries since last September. So yeah, from September to February, I've been to 7 countries.
And how many medals have you won this season? Not including Haringey, because you won a gold there.
Since then, probably like 5 medals, I think it's been 4 or 5 medals. But yeah, 1 gold in Croatia, and I won bronze in Spain, I think it was. But yeah, been a busy few months, that was. Probably the best preparation I've ever had. And a lot of GB people people in GB don't get that preparation and that opportunity to go traveling, you know, places like India. You never think you do boxing in India, would you?
No,
not India. But we've got some top quality boxers over there, and it was an amazing experience overall.
I work with brilliant coaches like Mick McGuire is a good friend, he's been on here.
Yeah.
Stubbsy, Jason, Amanda, who said earlier, there's some great coaches out there, isn't there?
Of course, yeah. But yeah, most of the coaches, I think since I've been on England, I've had roughly the similar coaches. I've had Stubbsy and I've had Amanda since I was young. So it's good for them to see me obviously progress and grow up as well. So that's why we've got that good connection, that good bond. And that, in the corner as well, when you're in the quarterfinals of the Europeans or whatever you're fighting, and they could just push you that last bit.
Mm.
They get you to where you want to be, in the ring. But yeah, it's a good squad, very good squad.
Because it's like that sometimes, you know, like you have your kids and you take them in the corner at times as a coach, and sometimes it's hard handing them over to England, even that's the dream.
Of course.
And it's nice when they can have that same bond with their England family. And I love what Amanda does. I mean, she set up that WhatsApp group, so when you're boxing abroad, she can keep me involved. And it's, I mean, it's what's been brilliant since you've been traveling is having like WhatsApp, being able to talk to each other through WhatsApp for free,
yeah,
and have videos. But then it's nice that Amanda and England keeps the coaches at home involved. And it, you should all be working together,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah. It's, and some people are plonkers, isn't they? And they want to do it their own way and they're butting heads,
of course.
The aim is to get you as high up as we can.
Of course. You're trying to work together. You're not trying to go different ways. And that's going to affect the boxer overall. Mm-hmm. That's just being very, obviously, selfish on the boxer.
Yeah.
Because you want the best for them. And obviously, the only way you can get the best for the boxer is if you work together.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, that was good.
And then this year, I mean, like last year, because it was we got your warm-up out, didn't we, before your championships, because I always say, like, you've gone travelling the seven seas, boxing ABA champions and Olympians and all this, but it's people around here who aren't up to your level, but get used to it, rolled the dice, and it was an accidental clash of heads, cost you last year's championships, once again. I feel like your religion really helped you out on that, because I was devastated.
But
you went and washed your head in a mosque, didn't you? And
yeah, I went to the mosque, literally, I thought, cut my head, and then I went to the mosque. And with, obviously, when you pray, you've got to make ablution, you've got to wash yourself. And I just washed my hair, and you just pouring out. I was like, damn, I'm going to be for a while now. Yeah. But yeah, so I prayed my prayer, and then we went out with my mates and just sat down talking. And but it's a good thing I've got my mates with me, you know what I mean, sitting down just talking about it instead of just keeping it all to myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, very lucky to have good people around me.
And we talk a lot about our mental health. And when you have got, you don't always need a therapist or an imram or a vicar. It can just be an old pal who can talk your feelings through.
Of course.
And they can save your lives, can't they? Because it's in those moments when championships and everything mean so much to you. And it's almost like life and death, isn't it?
It is, because you literally put all that effort, all that work in, and it's just gone like that. And it feels like everything you've done is just pointless. But now you need people that you can trust, and speak to, and they're not going to judge you. But that's what everyone needs, I think. That's what everyone needs to get them through situations like that.
And then this season, once again,
same again.
Best preparation, and first lads, you stop in the Midlands semi-finals, then in the Midlands final, first round, accidental, elbow to the head again, and it was stopped, and then a suspension that, you know, couldn't be overturned, you know, to my dismay. But once again, it's through Ramadan, then ready, but you're back in the club because the dream hasn't got to die with bad times, has it? You've got to stay focused to what you believe is going to happen and what you do your best to make happen, and that's the mindset of a champion.
I feel like I always say to myself, it's God's plan. God's got a plan, and God's never wrong. And with all that preparation, all that hard work, it hasn't gone to waste, even though it feels like it hasn't gone to waste, because I've still got assessments and I've still got, obviously, future competitions coming up. So if I was just to stop it here for a few weeks, then it'd be pointless. Then all that preparation would be pointless. But if I just carry on, then I could use it for another occasion. Yeah,
and do you feel like religion does help you, Ross?
Yeah, it definitely does. Because there's always a reason for everything. You know what I mean? Nothing happens by accident. It's there's always a plan for it. I feel like with this cut that I had, I feel like it's definitely God's plan, and it's helped me. That's what helped me get through. I was always saying to myself, "It's part of the plan. It's part of the plan. You got to trust yourself. You got to trust God as well." And without that, I don't think, without God, I'll by far guaranteed I would, you know what I mean? I would have probably quit boxing, I reckon. But it's hard keeping yourself sane, you know what I mean? After something like that happened, that's second year now in a row. But yeah, so it's something you've got to say to yourself, you know what I mean? Keep repeating to yourself, it's part of the plan. You got to trust the plan.
And I think that inner monologue, talking to yourself, can make or break it, can't it? Because when you've got an inner monologue that's very negative, and, oh, they shouldn't have done this, and oh, I should have done this, it's poison.
Mm. And it still doesn't change what
it doesn't change. It's like drinking bleach and wanting someone else to die.
Yeah.
If you've got that poison within you, it only kills you. But if you can keep saying it's God's plan, or these two shall pass, or whatever, if you've got a positive monologue,
yes,
it's the difference between giving up and carrying on.
Of course. And it's that alone, obviously, saying to yourself that it's part of the plan, that'll get you through it. You know what I mean? If I was just stuck there by myself, I'm just thinking to myself, oh, that guy cut me, I'm going to get him back, or that ref made us, you know, he's a bad ref and he's not doing his job properly. What's that going to do for me? You know what I mean? What's that going to do for me? You got to think positive. You got to say to yourself, what positive things can I get from the situation? And that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me going with boxing, especially. Because no matter how good you are, you're going to get trials and tribulations in boxing. And you're going to go through a lot of hard situations. But you've got to stay positive if you want to get to the top.
If you had to give some advice to a kid who wants to get into boxing first, what would you say?
So you've got to sacrifice something. Because people at the top, they're sacrificing their, whether it's spending time with their family, whether it's making weight, obviously eating what you want, you've got to sacrifice something to get on top. And you'll find a way. If you really wanted to, you'd find a way. You'd find a way to get to the top and become successful in boxing. But it's down to how bad you want it. And obviously, you got to prove to yourself that you want it, you want to get to the top.
And to a kid who's just lost the IBA championship, what would you say to him?
It's part of the process. Everyone goes through losses. No matter how good you are, you go through losses. And you've got to think positive. You've got to think to yourself, what can I do? What did I do? And your next fight is your, obviously, how you're going to amend that, how you're going to become a better boxer.
And to the lad who just won the IBA championship.
The people always after you. You're never safe. People always after your spot, no matter what you've done. And it's just staying focused. You know what I mean? Winning a national title isn't the end goal. There's always something after. And you've got to think to yourself, because I won this national title, what's next for me? What more can I do? You're always striving. In boxing, you're always striving to be a better boxer. There's always something after. It's never an end. But, yes.
Now, we're desperately trying to get you sponsors, aren't we?
Mm.
Now, it can be as little as, say, £100 a month, say, to start off with, because at the moment you're working. But obviously, when you're working, you're here like 5 days a week, more or less, at the Lions.
Yeah.
But then, like, you work on the weekends. But then if England calls you, that's your camps. And if GB has assessment, that's your camps. And if you're going international, that's your camps. So we'd like some way of getting you some money. And the thing is, it's all tax-free anyway, isn't it?
It is. A lot of people don't understand how, obviously, sponsorships work. But, yeah, it's just, instead of giving it to the government, you're giving it to me, you know what I mean? Or a part of it, £100 a month, what's that? It's nothing.
It's a chip shop a week.
That's literally, yeah, man, that's nothing. And that's obviously going to go towards me. That's going to help, you know, help me progress in my career. And at the end of the day, you're getting something else out of it as well. It's a win-win for both of us.
And it can be on your social media. It can be on the Lion social media. It can be having it on your shorts. Obviously, it can't be on your England kit, but on your training kit or anything like that. And the thing is, it's getting you now, because touch wood, in 2 years Commonwealths, in 4 years Olympics, and then, you know, the world's your oyster, you know. And it's good to get, you've got a great memory, haven't you?
Mm.
You know, and it's all about just spreading the word and helping some working class kid from the area get to the next level.
Of course. And obviously with financial situations, being a boxer and studying and obviously working, it's hard to balance it out.
Yeah.
It's very much hard, it's very hard to balance it out. But obviously that little help from someone that could take time off my work and go towards my boxing. Because with work, I'm sacrificing times I could be training.
Yeah.
And either or other. So it's at the end of the day, it's benefiting me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And what's the best place to, everyone can find? What social medias you're on us?
Yeah, so on Instagram, my name's _Osama.04, and on Snapchat as well, Osama.04, I think it is. So yeah, on TikTok as well, Osama Muhammad 04. But yeah, that's how I'm at.
And that's a great way of like following his journey, seeing where he is around the world, what he's winning, how he's training. And please get in touch with him. And if you can't get in touch with him, you can get in touch with us on all of our social medias. And no doubt you're watching us on one of them right now. And we can get you in touch with Osama, because that little bit can make all the difference to anyone on their journey to success.
I feel like as well, because I'm all over the country, all over the world as well. You know what I mean? And with their brand, it's going to be seen by thousands of people. You know what I mean? I'm on England every other week, obviously the social page as well. And yeah, it's just a bigger platform for yourself.
Precisely.
Really is. So yeah, it's a win-win for both of us.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
So Oz, before we have to say goodbye, have you got any quotes or sayings that have helped you get through life?
Yeah. So I'd say if it was easy, everyone will do it. When it gets tough as well, when you've got to make a way, or when you've got to spend time with your family, if it was easy, everyone would do it. And people get to that situation, people get to that point where they think to themselves, is this for me, or shall I do, am I doing this for the right reasons? But it's, that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you going, because people that you look up to, or your role models, they've been in the same situation as you. And for you to be like them, you've got to give up, you've got to sacrifice something, and you've got to work hard at it. But yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say, bro, before we go?
That's it.
Well, guys, I hope you've all enjoyed that. Follow him and follow us. So until we see each other next time, I want you all to take care of yourselves and each other. Ta-ra a bit.
Listen. And that's a wrap for another show. But if there are any comments or messages that you would like us to read out for our next podcast, please be in touch. There are also lots of different organisations at the bottom of this page, and hopefully they can help you or someone you care about. Please share this to spread the word. Until we talk next time, ta-ra a bit. Listen.